Our scripture reading this morning is found in the book of Isaiah and chapter 30. Maybe if you have your Bible, you would turn to that passage with me now, please. Context of chapter 30 really is that people who despise the word of God. And yet, as we look at the words carefully, we see that the Lord is gracious, he is long-suffering, and for his people he is always able to meet the need. He's always able to meet the need. Going to read the first verse of chapter 30 and then go down and read from verse 8. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, and that cover with a covering but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Then in verse 8, now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bustling of it a shred to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. Ending our reading there, we trust that the Lord will bless this public reading of his word to all of our hearts and for his name's sake. There's one thing that you always are made aware of as you read through the Bible, whether it is in the early chapters of God's word or near the end of the book, and it is this, that the cost of rebellion is always high. The cost of rebellion is always high. The wages of rebellion are meager and always inevitably disappointing. And when you look at this chapter in the book of Isaiah, that is where the people were. You will look there very sadly in verse 10, where there is that desire of heart for things to be said that will not unsettle people in their sin. And even in verse 11, the words, verse 12, the words, because ye despise this word. And folks, I'm a Christian long enough to know that this really happens. That even folk who seem to run so well eventually started to drift a little bit. And as I indicated earlier in the Bible class this morning, that alarmed me and frightened me when I saw that. And then they drifted a bit more. And then Sunday wasn't special anymore, at least not all of it. Then Sunday wasn't special at all. And then the meetings meant so little, and now, and I'm speaking of people that I know and love, they despise the word. Because when they hear the word, it reminds them of that time when they did have that closer walk with God. and how it has all changed. And how rebellion that started off perhaps in just something that seemed quite innocent ended up in a life that is off track. A testimony that is tarnished. And a witness that, well, is no longer there for the Lord. And the people here, as it is now, were assured of forgiveness and favor if they would return in brokenness to the Lord, and nothing less than that will do. A friend of mine one time had backslidden, and things ended up just a mess, as they eventually do. Came to the minister and told him all about it, and the minister just said to him, you know, nothing is going to change unless you in your heart wanted to change. If you want things to be different again. And thankfully, he did, and he was sincere. And from that time to now, things have been very different. He's knowing again that closer walk with the Lord. And as I looked at this chapter and read it, I was thinking, or my attention was drawn to the words at the end of verse 15, where it says, "In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." Now it says after that, "and ye would not." But think of the promise. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. That was a great promise to them in their day. And folks, it's a great promise to us today. The God's people everywhere. In quietness and confidence will be your strength. I want to look with you for the remainder of our time together this morning at what I have entitled "A Word to Lift the Gloom." A word to lift the gloom. I haven't met anyone this morning, by the way, who has seemed gloomy. But we're all aware that there's very much today that could bring you to that point where you're cast down. You are discouraged. And as someone recently said, life hasn't been what I expected. And the world has proved to be a very harsh place. And with all of that, you and I could find ourselves plodding along before our colleagues as though all was as well as it's ever been. And yet, there's a heaviness. And the joy isn't there the way it used to be. And the enthusiasm in our own heart, try as we may, it just doesn't seem to be there. And we can become gloomy. Notice here, first of all, then, as we consider a word to lift the gloom, looking here at the end of verse 15, notice there, if you would, the direction given. It says here, "In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." Quietness is something that you and I are not good at. Whenever we are frustrated or we are anxious, or we are alarmed about something. Rather, if you're anything like me, so often our minds are fevered. And we feel that the situation that we're in, whether it is some temptation has come your way, some particular difficulty, your mind is so active that you simply cannot find quietness and calmness. Last evening, we went down to visit a lady in Belfast. Some of the brethren here will know that currently I'm looking after Mount Marion as interim moderator. And there's a gentleman passed away and was down there in the house with his wife and talking with them. Sometimes it's difficult to know what to say. But what the dear lady really needed and does need is the Lord to give her that quietness in her mind. As far as the days that lie ahead are concerned, there will be ups and downs, but she will need that quietness. And you know, the Lord, in a degree already, has bestowed that quietness upon her. Because the word quietness here, it is a word that means collectedness, or to be collected, or repose, or freedom from being boisterous. And you will get the picture of exactly what it is that we're talking about here when we're talking then about this quietness, the direction that is given. If you look over there in Galatians chapter 2 and in verse 20, Apostle used an interesting word. He says in verse 20 of Galatians 2, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, my reason in turning your attention to this passage is that the word faith there used in this verse means faith on. Every Christian has saving faith, and they have had enough faith to be saved, and they've come and trusted the Lord. Even any who have lost out along the way or are losing out along the way. But the thought here is of faith on, in relying on him and looking to him. We all know the story of Martha over in Luke's Gospel chapter 10 and in verse 40, where it said that Martha was cumbered about, much serving. Good to be industrious, not to be lazy, and to want to contribute something, if we can at all, in our lives to society. And certainly there's nothing wrong with Martha's was working. But you'll see here where it says that she was cumbered. The word carries the meaning of being overoccupied. Such a thing is too much. And here she had been doing too much. You know the context where there's her and her sister Mary, and the Lord is here now, and she's complaining that her sister's left her to do all the work. Of course, the Lord has an answer for that, and he said, you know, you're a trouble. He says, and you're troubled about many things. That word is only used here in the New Testament. The word trouble, it means to be in a tumult, to be in chaos. So here is another woman, and what she really needed was quietness. But he qualifies what he has just said to her, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen a good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now, if you look at verse 39, you'll see what the good part was. That she was there at Jesus' feet and she heard his word. Maybe you had an invitation today to be somewhere else other than God's house. But you'll not find any help anywhere else. And in walking with the Lord, or seeking to walk with him, with all of the ups and downs that come, if we want to know anything of this collectedness, this repose, this freedom from boisterousness in her mind, or being troubled as she was in a tumult, it will be at his feet that we find the answer. Remember what over there in 1 Peter, maybe you turn to it, it's quite interesting passage. 1 Peter chapter 5. Again, Peter is trying to encourage believers now. And he uses words that in his early ministry, as I mentioned again to the Bible class this morning, wouldn't have been suitable for him really. Because he talks to them there in verse 5 of chapter 5 of being clothed with humility, meaning to bind it upon yourself and be be covered in it. He wasn't like that at the beginning, but he is now. He is now. He's gone on with the Lord, and he's grown in the Lord. And then he says to these believers that he knows have their trials and their troubles and difficulties. He says in verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, when I say this, an interesting passage, it is the words in the verse, if we look at them, they really do help us, because where it says casting all your care, the word cast means to fling something. If I set my page down here, it's right there, but if I don't want it anymore, I'll take it up and scrumple it up and throw it into the bin. I fling it away. And that is what he's saying to believers here. Take that which unsettles your mind and crumple it up and take it and cast it upon him, casting all your care. The word care there means to be drawn in different directions. Sometimes I think my wife's like that, trying to please all of us at the dinner table. We're not too bad, but when somebody doesn't like one thing, somebody doesn't like something else, and I'm sure that there are many people here, and you know what it is to have your mind drawn in different directions, maybe in a time of crisis, but maybe just in the busyness of life. And it's at that time that there's no quietness. So you take that which draws you in different directions and fling it upon him. Then it says, for he careth for you. Now the word careth there is from a different word altogether from the one that we read earlier. Casting all your care means to that which draws you in a different direction. The word careth now is one that refers to a mother with a new baby in her arms. And we all know what that's like. If you want to harm the baby, you'll have to harm her. It means more than life to her. And she will care for that baby, and she'll hold it in her arms, the most precious thing that she has. And Peter here is saying, take all that which troubles you and fling it upon him, because he cares for you just as a mother cares for her little baby. You remember Elijah? Elijah had a red letter day in his life. I have to admit that I admire his arrogance when he challenged them, when he was up with the prophets of Baal, and he asked them to put more water around the altar. Such was his confidence in what God would do. And that day he had an experience that stands out for all time in history as one of the greatest moves of God in answer to prayer for a mere man. And then he went down to Jezreel. Not sure exactly what he was expecting there. Maybe he thought that things would be totally different now where Jezebel was. But her words were threatening words, but that's all. He had been in danger before, just now. But her words, threatening his life, sent him away out into the wilderness. For some reason or other, that one statement from her tipped the mighty Elijah almost over the edge. And it really unsettled him. And such was his distress of mind that he was crying unto the Lord to take his life. And he actually, in those verses, he indicates, well, I'm only one that's left here. And he ran away out, and he was away out into the cave. But with all of that, while it seems that the temptation for Elijah was to forget God's past help, mighty help on Carmel, and to just keep on running. Men and women, please remember that for all his running, and all of his upset state of mind, he was not out of God's sight. And he was not out of God's care. And he came out to the mouth of the cave, which was indicating at least he was willing to listen. And the best word that we can leave with you that God left with him was, go. The Lord hadn't finished with him. He hasn't finished with you. And maybe something has come and has taken away your quietness. Maybe it was a situation, or maybe, just maybe, it was self-inflicted through neglect. There's a terrible neglect. Maybe that was it. I can't say. Over there in the Psalm 37, it says at the beginning of the Psalm, to fret not thyself because of evildoers. Then it goes on to say in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. The word fed there literally means shepherded. He is a shepherd. We're just a sheep. Sometimes we want to be the shepherd. Or we forget we need a shepherd, or we forget we have a shepherd. And you look around you, it would be easy to fret yourself because of evildoers, to become downhearted, and I've already indicated words to that effect just a wee while ago. But it says there, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, meaning to rest in him. To determine that you're going to rest in him. And Elijah, again, he'd known that before, but he had to learn it again, just like me. So forgetful of what God has done in the past. Think of the Lord when he was out with the fishermen and the storm came. And humanly speaking, it wasn't looking too good for them on the ship. And the Lord wasn't with them. And all of their human frailty began to surface, and they really thought they were going to be perished and that he didn't care about them. Remember when it was? It was in the third watch of the night, the darkest part of the night. Sometimes I've been up in the middle of the night, and that's another story, out around the fields. It's very dark. And in the darkest part of the night, when they were in despair, when their minds were unsettled, when quietness was something that was foreign to them, the Bible says he saw them. He sees you. And he sees that which is robbing you now of peace and contentment. And if it is something that has come your way, the Lord knows all about that. If it is something that has come about because of carelessness, he knows that too. But whatever it is that brings gloom to us, that awful feeling of, well, defeat and despair, here's the answer from the Lord if they will return. He says, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. There is the quietness that, well, any Christian that's ever indicated to me that they're in a situation like this, they want this quietness. So do I. And I'm sure you do as well. So the quietness comes about. I'm going to move to another point now. There's not just the direction given, the definite assurance. It says, in quietness and in confidence. The thought here behind the word confidence is of leaning. Not totally indifferent from casting all your care upon him, but actually leaning upon him. Very often things that cause us to become gloomy or despairing or downcast, very often those things, they are such that they seem so big. I preached a few weeks ago about David and how defeating Goliath was quite easy for him in the end. All he had to do was shoot with a sling. And before that, he had an awful time of it with Saul and with his own brother, Eliab. Eliab told him he's just a show-off and he can get away back to the sheep. He's just come down to watch the little boy. And then Saul, of course, being who he was, he said, oh no, you can't do this here. Take my armor. Flesh and the world all around them. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord God of hosts. He was leaning. He was leaning on the Lord. He learned to lean. Over in Psalm 119, verse 117. If you've got a Bible that shows you the little sections under the Hebrew letter or word, you'll see that it is Samach. And the word there, the letter, it means hold thou me up. Hold thou me up. And he says there in verse 117, hold thou me up and I shall be saved. Sometimes my weakness surprises me. I'm sure yours surprises you as well. Hold thou me up. You could trace that word through the Bible. It's over in Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Just if we can turn there for a minute. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. It's a verse that most people here are familiar with. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stead on thee. There's the word again that is translated Samach. It is Samach translated stead. The one that we just looked at, the same word. Stead, it means hold thou me up. In other words, let me lean on thee. And folks, that is what we learn to do continually, to lean upon him. And when he says here, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, is a reference to leaning upon him. The Apostle Paul had plenty of experience. And it wasn't all easy, that's for sure. But when he was writing there to the Corinthians, we know about the Corinthians, how really needy they were when they even were saved, how many problems they had and difficulties that had to be sorted out. And in writing here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the apostle gives a little indication of his own time of gloominess. In verse 8, being pressed out of measure. Now, that's not an easy call. Being pressed out of measure. Above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Can't see a way out. But you see, verse 10 is a wonderful verse. For he says here, concerning the Lord, trusting in him, or the word meaning as well, leaning, not lean on ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, remembering what God had done for eternity regarding his soul. You and I do well to remember that often. That was in the past, what God did. Delivered us from so great a death. And even now in our circumstances, it says he doth deliver. Today, he's given us the health and strength to come to church. He's done other things for us. But maybe you're looking a little bit down the line and you think, well, I just can't lean upon him because as I look forward, I feel that things are not good and I just don't know what to do, and therefore all your quietness is gone nearly. Well, look at the verse again. There's past, in the past, who delivered us, right now doth deliver, in whom we trust or we lean, that he will yet deliver. There's tomorrow taken care of. He will yet deliver. And maybe there's someone here, and I know that living in an age of so much stress and so many difficulties, and things have never in some ways really got back to normal from COVID times. And there's lots and lots of pressure on, and I'll not even mention the school situations and so on. All of those things that are coming. And maybe you feel in some way, being even a kind-hearted person, one who's seeking to walk with the Lord, you feel you're a sinking ship. I wonder, do you feel you're a sinking ship today? Well, the Lord said, he gives definite assurance here. The confidence is in Him, leaning on Him. Leaning on Him. I was thinking just this morning in the study, the Holy Spirit, how the staff in Psalm 23 reminds us of Him. And the work of how the staff makes the shepherd very real to the sheep. And He puts that staff around the sheep's neck. And He uses that staff to draw him closer to Himself. And you and I, even as we desire to lean upon Him with whatever it is, maybe it's heartbreak about a loved one that's not saved, maybe someone you've prayed for years, or someone is backslidden and are just making a complete mess of it, or some other situation, the shepherd can draw us closer to Himself as we lean on Him. So there is here, as we think of this word to lift the gloom, there is the direction given. The quietness is needed. It really refers to being in His presence. And then the next word, confidence, goes a little bit further, the definite assurance. It's leaning upon Him that we need to do. Sometimes we think we need to take it on ourselves. But then there is the definite result. See what it says? In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Whenever that quietness is gone, you and I feel anything but strong. Over there in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 32, says there in verse 36, "For the Lord shall judge His people and repent Himself for His servants when He seeth that their power is gone." And He sees when our power is gone. And when you're in that point, you've got to that point for whatever reason, where the quietness and all is gone, I think generally speaking, the power is gone as well. He knows when their power is gone. But if you look there at verse 11 and 12 of that chapter, Deuteronomy 32, "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him. And there was no strange God with him." The thought here is of the Lord coming along to His people and being on to them all that they need. Didn't He talk about, "Didn't I bear you in eagle's wings"? And He's talking now about how the eagle stirreth up the nest. Some eagles, when it's time for the young ones to fly, they wreck the nest so that it's not comfortable anymore. And sometimes the Lord allows us to be put in that position where we have to want to lean because the quietness is gone. And we need Him to lean on. If we want to be strong again, we need to lean upon Him. It says there, "Fluttereth over her young again." There are some eagles that literally, they chase them out of the nest. They chase them out of the nest. I've only ever seen golden eagles once up near Tomaten, Scotland. There's a pair together and a single one later on. And watching them give whole new meaning to the words, "They that mount up with eagles, them shall mount up with wings as eagles." And they were like this, and they were hardly moving their wings, but they're going up, 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 using the thermals in the air. And such was the design of their body by the Lord. And I watched them going up, and I thought, what a wonderful proof of God's word, of how you and I, who the eagle wasn't using their own strength to mount up, they were using the thermals, the air, they were floating up. They've got bones that are, some of the eagles have bones that are partly cylindrical so that they can float on up, really big wide wings. It was all of the thermal. And if you and I are to be strong, while we have responsibility, the strength will come from the Lord. For it says there, beareth them on eagle's wings. If the eagle chases this young eagle, eaglets out of the nest, and one of them, well, he's not doing very well, he's heading down, and there's only one wing going a wee bit, and the other one's going just a little bit better, but he needs, they actually come in underneath them. And that's what the Lord does. He comes in underneath when our quietness is gone. And when the turmoil is there. And he bears us up. And he says to all of us today, if we're feeling down or gloomy, quietness and confidence shall be your strength. These people at this on this occasion says they would not. I wonder will we? Look to him for strength again. Quietness of mind. Turn to him. Seek his face earnestly. Lean upon him. And then know his strength. My time is gone. And just want to leave you with that thought. Trusting today that the Lord will meet your need. And give you all the help that you require. And that you will prove him to be the one who gives you. Even in a world of chaos. Prove him to be the one who can give you that quietness again. In your mind. May the Lord bless you, your thoughts to your hearts this morning.